Open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua and chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, and our scripture reading will be from verse 1 through verse 21 of the chapter. God's holy word, Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two spies to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the top of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto the men upon the roof, and said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, which ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get ye to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this our oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee." And it came to pass that whosoever shall go out of the door of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Let us bow for prayer as we solemnly and reverently approach the word of God this day. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is yea and amen. We thank you, Lord, that these accounts in thy word are not simply fairy tales or the imaginary stories of men, but they are the actual, literal, and true account of your working among men. Father, we thank you for the glorious salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the salvation of this Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. Father, we thank you that you protected her and her family. You indeed quarantined them from the destruction of the city that you had ordained for their wickedness. Father, this day, we pray earnestly that you would open our hearts to receive your truth. Lord, open your word that we may receive a blessing. Rebuke us, correct us, and instruct us in the precious word of God. And Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone's talking about quarantine today, or sheltering in place, or being separated one from another. And we talk about social distancing. And if you go into the store, people are not bumping into each other, but they're keeping their distance. This morning, our message title is Quarantined by God. And I'd like us to consider some instances in the Word of God when people were quarantined. They were set aside. They were separated for the purpose of God. The word quarantine basically means to separate or to restrict travel of humans or animals that may have been in contact with an infectious disease. That comes from the Encyclopedia Britannica, the online edition. The synonyms of this word to quarantine are to confine, to insulate, isolate, seclude, segregate, separate, sequester, abstract, detach, and disengage. And I think that very much describes what our society is trying to do. The word quarantine is not found in the Bible, but it's very interesting the origins and use of this word quarantine. The original meaning of the term to quarantine is a period of 40 days. And throughout Scripture, we find periods of 40 days. And in fact, the scholars in medieval times referred to the desert where Christ was sequestered, where he was set apart for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'll try to pronounce the Latin here as the quadrantina. It's the way they referred to it. But you hear that word quad in there. The origin of our word quarantine is the Latin 40 or the Latin 4. Hence, we have a quarter, which is one-fourth of a dollar. Or we have a quart of milk, which is one-fourth of a gallon of milk. And so the very origin of this word quarantine is this idea of four. And it's interesting that throughout the Word of God, we find periods of 40 days. The basic concept of quarantine is to separate. And we find in the Word of God that God has been making separation from the very beginning of the creation. God divided, or God separated, the light from the darkness. God divided, or God separated, the firmament above from the waters beneath. God separated the dry land from the sea. God separated the lights of the day, the sun, from the lights of the night, the stars and the moon. God separated mankind from the animals. And this is very important because our modern science will try to say that man is an animal. No, man is not an animal. Man alone, separate from the animals, was created in the image of God. Man alone was made a living soul, and man alone was given dominion over the animals. And so God made separation, and even before the creation of anything, God made separation between the men whom he would create. Paul, in his introduction to the book of Ephesians, burst into an exclamation of praise there in Ephesians chapter 1. And starting in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without him in blame, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself." And so God, before they even created anything, he made separation in the eternal plan and the eternal mind of God. He separated to himself a people elect and predestined according to his will. And of course, the great illustration of this is found in the book of Romans, where Paul is recounting Jacob and Esau. And there Paul says, before they were formed in the belly, God loved Jacob and hated Esau. So the first quarantines we find are found in the Word of God. And the first actual quarantine is found in the book of Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis 6 verse 13 and 14, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." And then in chapter 7 of Genesis in verse 1, "And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark." And so the first quarantine we find actually reported in Scripture was the quarantine of Noah and of his family. God was going to destroy the whole earth. But God said to Noah, come into the ark. Come into a separate place, for in this place you will be protected. In this place, the judgment that is coming upon all the earth because of their wickedness shall not come on thee. And in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5, Noah obeyed God. And in chapter 7 and verse 7, Noah and his wife and his sons and his whole family went into the ark, and they were spared. And then we find another quarantine in Scripture. "For when God was ready to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, to deliver them from bondage," in Exodus chapter 12, "God told the children of Israel to take a lamb and to slay that lamb of the sacrifice and to put the blood on the top of the doorpost and on the sides of the doorpost." The blood there is very significant. And God said he was going to pass through the land of Egypt. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And in Exodus 12 and verse 22, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning." And so God quarantined the children of Israel within their houses. All outside were under the judgment of God, but those that were shielded by the blood were protected. And oh, what a glorious picture we have there of salvation. "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And what is the shield of the believer from the judgment of God? It is the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is the blood. And when God sees the blood, he will pass over our judgment, for our judgment has been poured out upon the Lamb. And of course, as we go further in Scripture, in the book of Leviticus, we find the instructions for the priesthood. "And when the priest suspected a man of having leprosy, they were to put that man up. They were to set him aside for 7 days. And then we go back and look upon it." And Leviticus gives us the instructions there. And so the idea of quarantine, of setting people apart, goes all the way back to the Word of God. And it begins with the Word of God. Now we turn to our text for this morning. And here we find Rahab. Rahab is a pagan. Rahab lives among pagans. She lives in a wicked city. She is herself a wicked woman. She is a harlot. And yet we find that God quarantines Rahab and her family in their house for their protection. Let's look more specifically at this character, Rahab. The first thing I would have us to note is that Rahab heard. Rahab heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you look back to our text there in chapter 2 of Joshua and verse 9, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." They had heard of the mighty acts of God. Now, the drying up the Red Sea had been 40 years, give or take a little bit, prior to This time when the spies come into her house, they have heard. And in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Joshua, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt." But I have us to notice from this passage that Rahab says, "We have heard." She uses the plural there. She doesn't simply say, "I have heard." In verse 9, she says, "Your terror has fallen upon us." In verse 9 again, "All the inhabitants of the land faint." In verse 10, "For we have heard." Verse 11, "And as soon as we heard." Verse 11, "Our hearts did melt within us." And the last part of verse 11, "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man." And so it wasn't just Rahab that had heard, but rather all the inhabitants of the land have heard. But only one is saved. Isn't that interesting? They all heard, but they didn't all believe. Paul gave commentary on unrepentant Israel in Romans chapter 10 and verse 18. There he said, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." And in Romans 10, 16, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And in Isaiah 53, 1, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And so all the inhabitants of Jericho have heard of these mighty acts of the Lord Jehovah. And yet we find that Rahab is the only one in the city that responds. In Romans 10 and verse 8, Paul said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know, when we come into a time of crisis or a time of trial, we find people talking about God more than they do typically. You will hear God's name used in the public discourse more in a time of trial. It's been said there are no atheists in foxholes, and many a person in the midst of trial has called out to God. Here we find a city in great trial. We find that they all have heard and they have feared. They know what God did drying up the Red Sea. They know what God did to Og and Sion. They know the mighty acts of God, and yet their response of the city is, "We're going to shut up the gates. We're going to find these spies. We are not going to believe." But here we find that Rahab alone is saved. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, in the first part of verse 3, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we should have believed to enter into rest." And I would ask you, my friend, today, you may have heard of the mighty acts of God. You may have grown up in Sunday school. You may have had a mother or a grandmother or a father or a grandfather that has told you what God has done. Maybe as a child you had a parent that read Bible stories to you as you fell asleep at night. Many have heard the mighty acts of God. But have you believed? There in Hebrews we read that the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And so we find not only did Rahab hear, but Rahab believed. Rahab, in exception to all of the city of Jericho, believed, and Rahab and her family were the only ones who were secluded in Rahab's house to be spared, just like Noah and his family were the only ones quarantined in the ark, and just like in all of the land of Egypt, only the Israelites put the blood on their doors, and only the children of Israel were spared. In fact, there in Exodus it says, from the lowest in the dungeon to the palace of Pharaoh, the firstborn died because they did not have the blood on the door. And so there in verse 11, we find Rahab giving a glorious testimony of faith. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2 of Joshua. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That sounds like a confession, doesn't it? She is acknowledging your God is greater than all of our pagan gods. Your God is able to dry up the Red Sea. Your God is able to defeat mighty kings and kingdoms. Your God, he alone is God. He is God in the heaven. He is God in the earth. There is no God like Jehovah. And it's interesting there, if you look in your King James Bible, when she says, for the Lord your God, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that is the indication to us that this is the very name of God, Jehovah. She doesn't just say your God, your idol, whatever you worship, whatever deity you call upon, as it's popular in our day to say, you know, whatever God you happen to believe in. No, there is one God, one true God, and one alone. Jehovah, he is God in heaven, and he is God in earth. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Fame of Faith. It recounts to us those great saints of the Old Testament who faithfully stood and believed and resisted and served God. And there in Hebrews 11 and verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab the harlot. That is the way she is known. And yet, she is recounted as a saint of God because she was redeemed, because she believed, because she was saved. And it does not matter what you were before. Do you know Jesus Christ today? It does not matter how great your sin may have been. Is your sin under the blood of God, of Jesus Christ? For in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, prior to verse 31, which we read, in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is what Rahab has done, he is God in heaven, he is God in earth, must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what was it that Rahab did? She hid the spies. She could have reported them. She could have told the king, oh yes, they're here, they're in my house. She could have set a trap for them. But instead, Rahab, believing in the Most High God, believing in Jehovah, God of heaven and God of earth, hid the spies. The gospel was preached. The gospel was heard by all those in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. And yet, they did not believe. It did not profit them. They heard the word, but they only heard it with their understanding. You see, I think sometimes we get confused when we talk about hearing the word. In Acts chapter 7, we find the account of Stephen preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Stephen, the martyr, said, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? They have slain them, was shewed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye now have betrayed and are murderers. And it says there in Acts 7 that they were cut to the heart. They heard the words that Stephen was saying, and it cut them to the heart. But then the next thing Stephen says, and they stopped their ears. They stopped up their ears. That's what the actually, not Stephen saying that, it's Luke giving us the account. But Luke says, and they cried out in verse 7 of Acts 7 and 57. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And so when we say that faith cometh by hearing, it's not just hearing with the ears. These unbelieving Jews that stoned Stephen were cut to the heart, but they never believed. That which they heard was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. God has promised that his word will not return void in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God's word accomplishes what he pleases. We believe that whosoever will may come. And at the same time, we believe that no man will come, except that the Spirit of God work and move on his heart. And so God's word will always accomplish that which he ordains. Jesus Christ himself gave commentary on the religious people of his own day that would not believe in Matthew 13, verses 14 through 16. He says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. But Christ said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And so Rahab not only heard the word of God, just as all the inhabitants of Jericho had heard, but Rahab believed. There was a transformation that took place in her heart. Something different happened to Rahab than that happened to all the inhabitants of Jericho. Rahab heard, Rahab believed, and Rahab repented. And repentance is the key. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that repentance did not come about because she was smarter or wiser or feared more. It came about by the working of God in her heart. God granted her repentance, but her repentance is found very clear in this passage. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Look again at verse 12 and 13 of Joshua chapter 2. "Now therefore I pray you," this is Rahab speaking, "swear unto me by the Lord, by Jehovah, since I have showed kindness unto you, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death." She's concerned here. "I know that God is going to destroy the city. Show me a token. I've hid you. I've shown you kindness. Now give me a token for good." Rahab was a traitor. Think about that. Rahab was a traitor to her own city, to her own king, to her own nation, to her own people, and to her God. What does it mean to repent? Well, repentance is a transformation. Our repentance is turning from my sin to Christ. It is turning from my own self-righteousness to his righteousness. It is rejecting all that is behind and turning in faith to Christ alone. And that's exactly what Rahab is doing here. She is turning from all she's ever known. She is forsaking her home. She's forsaking her city. She's forsaking her pagan gods. And she is turning by faith to Jehovah alone. And why does she make this turn? Well, she knows the city's going to be destroyed, but she knows that there is salvation in Jehovah. She knows that he is a merciful God who indeed will receive all that comes to him. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And so here in Rahab, we find a glorious account of a harlot, a wicked woman of the city, who, having heard of the mighty acts of God, said, "This God, he is Jehovah. He is God alone. He is God in heaven. He is God in earth. It is to this God that I must flee if I am to be saved alive." And so again, going to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter, which tells us of the abiding faith of the saints of old. There in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, "These all died in faith." That includes Rahab. She died in faith physically. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, even a city heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." You see here, Rahab is rejecting. is turning from all of her past life. She's called Rahab the harlot throughout Scripture, and yet her harlotry was left behind. And we even find in Scripture that she was the four greats back ancestor. She's found in the ancestry of King David, and ultimately in the ancestry of Mary and Joseph. And so what a glorious account we have here. Rahab repented. She betrayed all. But what was the mark of that repentance? What was the mark that set Rahab apart from all the inhabitants of the city of Jericho? It was that scarlet thread. It was that rope of crimson. It was that blood red rope hung out of her window that marked her and set her apart, just as the blood upon the doorpost of the Israelites in Egypt set them apart and marked them out as God's own people, protected them from the wrath that was to come. So this glorious scarlet thread is the mark upon Rahab. It is the quarantine upon her house by which she is saved. Oh, my friend, do you have the quarantining blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart? For that blood alone is the shield against the wrath of God. Have you repented of your sins? Has the blood been applied to your heart? Do you know that you are redeemed? That scarlet thread was the glorious token. That was the sign that was placed. And there the death stopped for Rahab and her father and her mother and her whole household were brought out and were spared. They were saved by the scarlet thread. Verse 18, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread to thy window. Oh, my friend, is there a scarlet thread of the righteousness of God bound to your heart? Is there a scarlet thread of the cleansing blood upon your soul? And so, Rahab heard. Rahab believed. Rahab repented. And we find even that Rahab becomes an evangelist. For she says there, what about my father's house? Can I bring them too? Can they come with me? And she brings into her house all of her family. There in Joshua 2:13, and that ye save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have, and deliver their lives from death as well. Ah, when someone truly comes to Christ, they suddenly have a burden for their family. When someone truly has faith in Jesus Christ, when they've been transformed, they have a desire to tell. If thou shalt confess believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. And so Rahab here has a great burden for her family. Oh, what about them? Can they come too? Isn't it glorious that Rahab had this burden for her family before it was too late? Remember the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man in hell lifts up his eyes being in torment, and now he has a burden for his family. I have brethren. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. But here, gloriously, Rahab is saved in time. Here, gloriously Rahab is delivered from the wrath. The last thing we see about Rahab: Rahab heard, Rahab believed, Rahab repented, Rahab evangelized, and Rahab lived. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. And so we find in Joshua chapter 6 that the young men went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. It's interesting there in Joshua 6:23 that we find that they segregated Rahab and her family from the children of Israel. They left them without the camp. And the Old Testament gives the instructions for when someone was brought into Israel and they were set apart for a while. They didn't want sin of a nephew or of a brother or of a sister to contaminate the children of Israel. They were set apart out of the camp for a time. And in verse 24 of chapter 6, and they burned the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. If you're following along, that's Joshua 6, verse 25. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab was quarantined by God. Noah was quarantined by God. The children of Israel in Egypt were quarantined by God. Have you been quarantined by God? Are you set apart? Are you reserved unto Him for salvation? Is there a blood? Is the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorpost of your heart? Is there a scarlet thread marking you out for salvation? Rahab, we find here in Joshua 6, she has a new home. Her new home is among the people of God. She has a new country. Her new country is with the people of God, marching towards the heavenly Zion. And most of all, Rahab has a new God. She's no longer a worshiper of the pagan gods of the city of Jericho. She has turned from her paganness. She has turned from her sin in repentance before God. Rahab believed in Jehovah God. We're in a day of quarantine. We're in a time when we're meeting for worship via electronic means rather than meeting in person. We look forward to the day very soon when we'll be able to meet again face to face. But are you quarantined to God? Are you set apart to Him in repentance of your sin, holy unto the Most High God, redeemed by the blood of Christ? Is there a scarlet thread separating you from the death and destruction that is to come?